Sometimes John's gospel can be frustrating. You either believe or you don't. You see the light or you live in darkness. But we all know things aren't ever so cut and dry. Today's passage from John, though, I think this is one that many of us can relate to. It gives an honest glimpse of real people with fears and doubts who are struggling to make it in this world. In one of his final speeches to his disciples, Jesus says, "In the world you will face persecution, but take courage. I have conquered the world." Powerful and inspiring words. But then Good Friday happened. And his disciples watched as their friend and their teacher was humiliated and killed on a cross. Jesus was no conqueror. He'd been defeated by the powers of this world. And now, 3 days later, they aren't at his graveside paying their respects. They aren't at the home of his mother, Mary, offering their condolences. No, they've locked themselves up in a house, doors barricaded, lights off, gathered with fear and trembling, wondering if the powers that be are coming after them next. We live in a world where there are many shut doors. So often we pull into our driveway and shut the garage door behind us, entering into our home without any interaction or conversation with the neighbors who are all around us. We get to work, we fire up our computer, and we shut our office door, so that we can sit down and get through all of the emails that have piled up in the inbox. We instant message coworkers who are right down the hall from us. Rare are the occasions where we're gathered in the break room making small talk or even sitting face to face around a conference table to brainstorm. I served a church a few years ago that had just installed a brand new playground. The equipment was beautiful. The church recognized that there were young families all around them, but they weren't necessarily in the church, so they were building for the future. They had a vision of where God was leading them. They were so excited about the playground. There was a dedication. Joy abounded. And then a few weeks went by, and there was some grumbling because trash was being left all around the beautiful new playground. Granola bar wrappers, cups, the neighborhood kids were coming and they were showing no respect for the church property, the church grounds. One church member said, I think we should maybe put a lock on the gate and only open up the playground when the preschool is in session and on Sundays. A few other people had different ideas, different proposals that they tossed around. Finally, someone said, "Have we put a trash can out there?" Silence. No one had thought to put a trash can on the brand new, beautiful playground. This was a faithful church that was working towards a grander vision. And some litter and some hurt feelings almost prevented them from living into that dream. Opening up doors so that we can interact with the community, so that we can talk with our neighbors, so that we can get to know our colleagues, it isn't easy. Sometimes it's inconvenient. We just want to go inside and get dinner started. We don't want to hear Miss Myers talk about how the deer are eating her hydrangea blossoms. We don't want to listen to Mr. Smith tell us how fantastic his cruise through the Mediterranean was when we can barely get the family to Hilton Head. Sometimes open doors are uncomfortable. Colleagues at work might propose a new way of doing things that disrupts the status quo and creates more work. Some brave soul may even ask whether the corporate environment is welcoming and inclusive of minorities. Sometimes open doors are messy. Trash gets left around. Things get moved from room to room. Nothing is where you left it before. Seeking shelter behind the closed doors is safer. It's tidy. It's more productive. The problem is, Jesus won't have it. The disciples shut themselves up behind the locked doors, and the risen Christ breaks right through and says, "Peace be with you." He offers peace to tame their anxiety and their fear. He breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He's commissioning them, equipping them, calling them to go out into the world and share the good news that He is risen. Thomas isn't there, but his friends tell him all about it. But Thomas is a realist. He says, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hand, I will not believe." Let's not judge Thomas too quickly. He's not unfaithful. He's just a realist. Dead people don't come back to life. We all know that. His grieving friends must be in denial, doing whatever they can to try to maintain hope instead of accepting the reality that their teacher and their friend is gone. Over a week goes by. 8 full days and still no sign of Jesus. Maybe we did imagine it. Maybe the risen Christ never did appear. Maybe all hope is lost. Guess what? They've shut themselves back up in the house and closed the doors. So Jesus comes to them a second time. He busts right through the barriers that they created and says, "Peace be with you." He gives Thomas all the time that he needs to examine his hands and the mark on his side. And Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." It can take the faithful a while to come around to God's vision. Thankfully, our God is persistent. Jesus bursts right through our closed doors, making it impossible for us to shut ourselves off from our neighbors and from those around us in the world. This scripture passage is a powerful one as we celebrate the 30-year anniversary of this church. It's a reminder that Jesus calls us to keep the doors of our hearts and our mind open as we go about our daily lives and as we plan for the future of this church. Christ calls us to get outside of our comfort zone, to engage with people who are different from us, and to be open to experimenting with new and fresh ideas. There was a great article that was published just this week by a woman who works with churches to help them find their vision, their passion for where God is calling them. And she says you consider 3 things. And she was talking with churches, but I think these could be easily applied to our individual lives. The first question to ask is, Who are we? What are our values? What do we believe? What's our history? What's our past? The second is, who do we serve? Who are the people sitting in the pews each week? And who are the people outside of these church doors all around us who aren't sitting in the pews? And the third is, what are we called to do next? Where is God slowly inviting us to journey? She works with churches to analyze these three things and to find where they intersect, to pinpoint a real passion and focus for the church. She talks about how some of the churches she worked with, one of them decided that they wanted to minister to 35-year-old men who thought that religion was irrelevant to their lives, and to work with them to see how faith can totally transform them. Pretty specific, but that was what that church felt called to do. Another church realized that the demographics around them had changed, and they were in the midst of a predominantly Muslim community. So they decided that their calling was to continue to host interfaith dialogues for all of the neighbors to come to try and discuss how to live together in a multi-faith community. Hearing and responding to God's call, it doesn't always go smoothly. There may be times when we wonder if we've made the right decision. We may be tempted to close doors and keep things safe and predictable. There may be stretches of time, whether it's 8 days, like it was for Thomas, 8 months, 8 years, where we wonder if God is still with us. But whether we see him or not, Jesus is always with us. Every step of the way, guiding our vision and helping us to work through any setback, any challenge, so that we can share Christ's love with the world. Jesus reminds his disciples then and now to go out into the world and live with faith and courage. Alleluia. Amen.